Welcome to Conversations with Owens Community College President, Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Welcome to the newest episode of the award-winning Conversations podcast. I'm Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Thank you for listening today. Whether this is your first time with us or if you're a longtime follower, we are so happy that you're joining us as we explore the issues and meet the people who are important to Northwest Ohio and to Owens Community College. Please enjoy our previous episodes and subscribe to Conversations to join us for future episodes. Today, I am so excited to welcome Jason Mesteller, Plant Manager and Director of Operations at First Solar in Perrysburg. Jason has been with First Solar for more than 17 years. He has filled many roles within the company as he worked his way up from production operator. His educational background began in aviation maintenance management at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and then he continued to the University of Toledo to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. Jason is known for his expertise in reducing costs, increasing efficiencies, and driving plant throughput. Hi, Jason. Thank you for being our guest today. It's wonderful to have you here, Jason. Welcome to our Conversations podcast. We are thrilled that you could join us today. The way we start each of our episodes is that we ask our guest, how did they know they needed education beyond high school?
So, you know, maybe not a traditional story. Well, I'll just give you some background. I was raised in east side of Toledo. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a pretty odd household. My family owned a furniture store and we lived in it.
Oh, on the very east side. Cool.
So I don't know if you know where Tony Paco's is on mm-hmm. the east side. Well, if you go down two blocks past Tony Paco's on the right on Payne Street across from the library was a company called Weiser Furniture. My family had owned that for about 80 to 100 years. Actually started as a horse-drawn cart selling furniture in a traditional, you know, the Hungarian neighborhood there. Grew up in a furniture store, kind of non-traditional in that way. Mm-hmm. My mother was a teacher at Birmingham School. And as, you know, I went on my journey through elementary school, went to Birmingham School, then I went to St. Thomas Aquinas School on the east side, then went to Central Catholic, graduated from Central in 95. I, like some out there, had no clue what I wanted to do when I came out of high school. I would not call myself a very good student. I was probably average to below average, even though most of my problem was that, you know, I didn't turn in my homework or I just could not focus. So after high school, I actually took a year off. In my mind, you know, as I raced through all the great things I wanted to be, everything that I wanted to pick was some kind of adventurous role. Right. Either I wanted to go fight fires or I wanted to, you know, jump out of airplanes or I wanted to go fly them. So, you know, at the time, you know, for some reason, military service never popped up in my mind. And mm-hmm. it was all just, you know, the military wasn't like a high option at that point for me. And, you know, decided to go to Embry-Riddle because they were offering courses in flight and it was an aeronautical school and they accepted me, which I thought was pretty strange. So I got accepted. I spent a year in Ohio and I said, told my parents, hey, I'm moving down there. And I quite literally got in my truck and I just drove to school. So mm-hmm. I just drove down to Florida, get my tuition paid, and ended up going to school down there. The program I got accepted to was actually an aviation maintenance management course. Ended up taking airframe power plant, ended up taking some management courses. And then, of course, as you would expect from someone like me, I decided, hey, I don't really like doing any of this. It's kind of cool and all, but, you know, I want to be a fireman now. So quit school in 99, right? By this time, I had kind of met my future wife. I was dating her at the time. Ended up basically going to what was basically the Florida Fire Academy. You know, went there, got a professional certificate in being a firefighter, and I went to Palm Beach Community College, actually. So I have mm-hmm. gone to community college as well to become EMT certified. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting that done. I worked for a few years as an EMT in Florida. And September 11th hit. And I was, you know, really trying to get a job all over Florida. It's a little bit different in Florida. You actually have to apply to all the different fire stations, right, individually into the city.
Oh, wow.
You don't actually go to a fire. You actually have to have all your certificates. You have to have everything ready, and you just apply. Mm-hmm. So I had everything. And then I got sent something that said, hey, Toledo is having the first fire test in this many years. This was like late 2001, 2002. And, you know, I ended up flying up here, taking the test. I scored really well. So that time took my now wife, and we ended up moving back to Toledo.
Now, is she originally from Florida?
Yes, she was actually from Florida, from the Daytona Beach area. I think she didn't like me for a while because I moved her from Florida to, beautiful Northwest Ohio. And I probably told her all these great things about how great Northwest Ohio was.
But all of them
left out the cold weather, but yeah, all of them true. Now she's, native to here. She'd never go back to Florida in a million years. So she loves Ohio. But obviously, I'm not a firefighter. Didn't go down that route. In the end, I scored really well, had a number of opportunities to get on with the fire department, but they froze the class a few times. My number didn't come up. And then I was at a point where I said, listen, I got to do something different. My wife was, working and said, hey, then, we got to do something, right? Health insurance, that type of thing. Can you get a full-time job? And I said, yeah, I probably should, help out. so this is like 2000, 5, 6, and ended up going into just a temp agency. And they said, hey, we got this place that, makes solar panels. You interested in working there as a contractor? And I said, hey, it sounds great. Let me check this out. That's how I ended up at First Solar. The magical story is I actually came in as a contractor and had no idea they made solar panels. In fact, I think they told me that at the time that the contract agency told me, well, we think it's a window company. They make glass. And I think they make windows. And I said, okay, window company sounds all right,
So I can't pass up the opportunity to ask you about the furniture store, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Ask away. Ask away.
So because the way you described it, because there's lots of folks who have, where it's the business on the bottom floor,
yep,
and the living quarters are in apartments or something, mm-hmm, above it.
Yeah.
But that's not kind of how you described it. You said you lived in a furniture store.
Yeah, so it was a little bit different. So it was a 3-story furniture store, and all 3 stores were filled with furniture. And then kind of attached, you couldn't really tell that it was, not part of the business side, I guess, mm-hmm, was essentially the house. Growing up, we had obviously moved into the house, and I could open a door and walk out into the furniture store at any time on all 3 floors. And we had actually warehouses inside of the same building. I would be watching probably Saturday morning cartoons, and we had a bathroom, and some strange customer would walk in and said, hey, your father said the bathroom's back here. I'm like, oh yeah, it's just right there, and that's essentially how we lived until my dad finally, figured out, hey, I'll build some bathrooms in the in another location so they don't have to, walk by my kids. I grew up actually at a very young age selling furniture. Uh-huh. So, they put me to work. I would take customers around and, tell them about how important a flex steel sofa was, how much better it was than, big box stores out there. So unfortunately, the furniture store is no more. My dad ended up selling it in 1996 and, auctioned off the building in 99, and he himself moved to Florida. But it certainly was a different upbringing. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe in some way codified some of my entrepreneurial spirit, seeing my family work hard. And I wouldn't give that up for anything. So.
Well, I mean, it's not uncommon that if there's a family business that young people are part of it, and and all the things, you probably have a list of skills or experiences that have translated into your life now. I mean, when you describe, kind of how you came through your educational journey and you fast forward to your career now, you're responsible for a significant production operation. And so it's that drive, that achievement. It's understanding the metrics. It's understanding bottom line. It's getting the company vision all the way through too. And you talk to people all the time, and you have to figure out ways in which to engage with them and motivate them and, get everybody to do that. And I would imagine that there's lots of roots that come from Wiser Furniture that are part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, seeing, my dad, obviously, and grandparents, struggle, right? Because, leading a small business on the East Side, you have to make business decisions that impact your business and your family, right? you know, what labor, right, writing the checks, right, dealing with insurance, right? I mean, there's all kinds of little things that I would see, you know, and I even today, you know, tell my team, it's, you know, function like this is your own business, right? Would you make that same decision? And I think, you know, those are important things that, you know, have certainly stuck with me and, you know, I try to pass on as much as possible, so.
That's pretty awesome. Well, you talked about your entrepreneurial spirit and about your family and how they were entrepreneurs in their own right. First Solar was founded by two entrepreneurs, and you have been at First Solar for a good little while. And so in 2019, First Solar became America's and the Western Hemisphere's largest solar module manufacturer. Born in the Midwest, headquartered in the Southwest, and shipped worldwide is kind of one of the slogans that you hear associated with First Solar. And so it really is a American success story. And I love that its roots are in higher education, kind of, you know, through the University of Toledo and, you know, spun off into what it is today. You've been there for the better part of two decades. Why do you love it?
Well, that's a great question. There's obviously a number of reasons. One, as I explained before, I came in as a contract operator, and I'm at plant manager level today. So I love that First Solar invests in their associates. I've told my story before. Obviously, you know, we have orientation and other things that go on, and I've gotten in front of you know, some of our new orientation associates, and I'll tell how I essentially came, you know, through the organization. And it's really what you put into it is what you get out of it, right? So, you know, I love that because I don't think you find that in many other businesses of a company willing to invest that much in their associates, right, and and reap the rewards, I think, over the years of that. So, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I love it. You know, we got a great product. I mean, it really starts with our technology. We're different than other photovoltaics, right? Most use crystal silicon. We're thin film. You know, we deposit CadTel on the module, and we have more in common with basically flat screen in terms of our manufacturing process than, you know, how crystal silicon is kind of managed today. And, you know, that technology gives us a real advantage. And that was, you know, some of the brainchild, of course, of, you know, you mentioned, you know, like Jim Nolan and Harold McMaster, right, and a host of others that, you know, were part of the initial investment in First Solar many moons ago. And in fact, they're today, we still have people that were part of, you know, Solar Cells Inc. and, you know, part of the UT offshoot on Westwood Avenue way back when. So that technology, as I mentioned, right, gives us a tremendous advantage, you know, from a cost perspective, right? You know, we can produce at a high level. We do it in under one roof. So we have a fully integrated factory, and for our customer, right, we're able to kind of leverage the systems that we have in-house from a traceability perspective. We know what gets put on the module, what from our BOM material, and, you know, anything that happens to the module while it's in the factory floor, we've got all of that information at our fingertips. So, you know, our customers love to have, you know, that data, and we're willing to, you know, ensure that we have a high quality standard because of it. So from that perspective, it's always good to have that technology advantage as being something that makes me feel good, right? And just the fact that obviously, right, what we're doing for the environment is important, right? So every day I get to come into a place where I know that we're changing the world in terms of renewables. So, you know, having that is also, you know, a big reason why I love First Solar.
So I've had the privilege of visiting First Solar a few times. One was at the groundbreaking for one of your expansions, and a couple times was with meetings that included you. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was an early morning meeting, and I was so impressed. Regardless of how large the facility is and how many employees work there, the meeting was in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And everyone knew each other's names. They knew the people's names who were serving them breakfast. Everyone was saying hello and was friendly. And yeah. And it was one of those where you're like, oh, my goodness, if I didn't already have a career that I absolutely love and enjoy, mm-hmm. you would want to work in a place like this. And so it just really seems to have that kind of environment. And you mentioned the investment in the people. I mean, one of the ways that Owens has a relationship with First Solar is through some of the training that you do for you know, for the employees. And so it really does seem like a pretty awesome place to work.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned some of the amenities. You know, we have a gym that's 24 hours, you know, two gyms actually, within our campus structure, and full service cafe, you know, and those, I think, kind of are just some of the things that, you know, associates appreciate. I think we've always done a very good job of hearing our associates, understanding, right, what their needs are. And I think you can see, you know, leadership is very present on the floor, right? You know, I don't come to work wearing a, you know, a tie and a vest, and I don't sit in, you know, an office in the back. I'm out on the floor. Actually, my office is like, you know, right there. I walk out, and I know, you know, most of the people I talk to, and it's still a big factory, and I have to move around a lot. But, you know, that's part of manufacturing. I need to make sure I maintain a very close connection, and I think a lot of the leadership that we have, they come from the floor, so they come from being operators as well. I mean, many of our shift managers were, you know, technicians or, you know, coder technicians or, you know, maintenance or something, right, where they were kind of promoted through, and, you know, I think that helps with that camaraderie as well.
Well, you talked a little bit about the culture in advanced manufacturing and how there's a lot of upward mobility and people, you know, really getting into different roles from where they, you know, originally start and come in. And so what are some of the challenges you see related to advanced manufacturing and particularly in Northwest Ohio?
You know, many of the challenges that we face are in obviously some key specific areas related to our technology, right? Semiconductor is not something that, you know, you find anywhere else really in Northwest Ohio at this point, right? You know, we're kind of the only ones right now kind of leading and have been leading that charge for many years. So understanding that technology, understanding things like vacuum systems and integration of product, right, in a high capacity, high volume manufacturing line, where I can tell you that on from years of working here, right, if you make a mistake on our front end, right, you're ending up impacting, you know, quite a bit of product, right? So if we can have individuals that understand the relationship that you have to many of the variables that we work with, know how to work, you know, statistical software, know how to work and make correlation data, right? That's all very important for certain areas. And sometimes we struggle to find that and we have to grow it in-house. Beyond that, it, you know, maintenance, I would say, is another area where I think you could probably, that's a common occurrence across, you know, most manufacturing now is, you know, finding, you know, not only traditional maintenance, but automation controls, mechatronics, right, whatever you want to call it from that perspective, PLC, that all, you know, is not easy to find, right?
Right,
you know, certainly when, you know, you're looking for it, right, in the now. And we've grown rapidly in the past few years, and, you know, we put a tremendous need on the market, and, you know, we've had to come up with different strategies to kind of make it up because we haven't been able to find it, you know, necessarily all from the outside. So what we've done is, of course, you know, we figured out ways to kind of grow a lot of that internally, right? Which I think a lot of manufacturers are kind of pivoting to do some more of those things. So I think for Owens, it, you know, we have talked on this is, you know, getting that information back from manufacturers to determine, you know, exactly what those needs are. And sometimes those needs can shift pretty rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I think as an organization, educational institution can be agile, right, to business needs when they're needed. I think that has a tremendous benefit, right, for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you talk about vacuum seals, mechatronics, PLC controllers, all of that, I know what those are because of Owens. But one of the things that really strikes me is that that's light years away from traditional manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of what we hear a lot of times is that young people in particular, they have no clue what advanced manufacturing is, or it still conjures up, you know, an image that reminds you more of, you know, Henry Ford and the Model T than
sure.
what First Solar does. And so how is it that we can kind of bridge the gap and people can understand, you know, the kind of career that advanced manufacturing is versus, you know, traditionally what we think of in terms of factories?
I can tell you we do probably on average of, it's probably in the hundreds of tours during the year. So, if any of the students were interested in ever coming and taking a look at First Solar and getting a live line tour, right, and kind of breaking that belief that, you know, this is a terrible place to work, right, not air conditioned, you know, unsafe, right? And by the way, I had all those perceptions as well. And it's a tough thing to break for most. Maybe not everywhere, but certainly in, you know, Northwest Ohio, there's a long tradition of manufacturing, mm-hmm. right? And for me anyway, growing up, my parents having their own business, right? And growing up in, you know, that kind of a household, right? You know, working for manufacturing was kind of what everybody else did, right? Mm-hmm. They all had a, you know, a parent that worked for a manufacturing, right? Whether it was automotive or whatever. And I had the idea that that was, you know, that's a road I didn't want to go down.
Right.
You know, what's great about manufacturing is that manufacturing is a microcosm of society.
Yep.
It has every element of what you find on the outside. You have employee health and safety. So you have people that, you know, if you want to be in a safety background and you have, you know, EMS training, or you're a nurse. I mean, we have a OC Health nurse. I mean, we have all that, right? If you are interested in education, we have elements of education, obviously, because we do our own training and we do a lot of our own, you know, internal education. And we're always educating and changing our products. So we always have to have that element, right, within our workspace. Supervision and leadership and, you know, those core elements are things that are another piece that's hard to find. Finding good leaders is always tough, right? And those that understand good leadership. And of course, then you have finance and you have, you know, supply chain and you have, you know, engineering. So you run the gambit of really what society, you know, has, right? I could probably go through your catalog right now and probably pick out, you know, probably at least 70% of those degrees would be, you know, applicable in a manufacturing space, right? So, you know, that's the tremendous, I guess, advantage.
It is. And I think that it really is kind of amazing when you think about the transferability of skills and how people can have multiple careers in one organization. When I think about the partnership that we've enjoyed with First Solar, I mean, there's, you know, some of the training that Owens provides. But I want to say that we also have interns that we have together. And so can you talk a little bit about the partnership that we have and why is that important to First Solar as a company?
You mentioned the internship program, and I think we actually have one of our admins that I have today that's supporting the manufacturing team is one of those interns, doing a great job, by the way. From that perspective, you know, we've also had, you know, maintenance has been a big need, as I mentioned before, and we've had a longstanding relationship with Owens in over a number of years, having a shared maintenance program. We put them, you know, a number of individuals, you know, through, I think we ended up doing maybe 35, 40 at one time, pretty big class of individuals that we put through a maintenance program that was kind of tailored for First Solar, which I think was important. And for us, there's benefits from the fact that we don't want to have certain instructions that we feel are general, right? Mm-hmm. Or not necessarily have benefit to have a instructor in-house to do X, Y, or Z. If we can, you know, essentially find that at Owens, right? Mm-hmm. And then either leverage our systems or have our associates come to Owens to take, you know, some of that training. That does take some of the responsibility and burden off of our local teams to have to concentrate on some of those things that, you know, we think Owens probably has more experience on and can do better, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, we're just down the street.
I mean, literally, you could walk.
Yeah.
Maybe not on a 90-degree day, but yeah. you literally could walk if you wanted to.
So that to me is also a huge benefit for Owens, is that, you know, we're so close in terms of our campuses that, you know, having a relationship, I think, is very important, right? I just think we both have to maintain a level of agility to get things done, and I'm always excited to see what Owens is cooking up for the future and, you know, what we can take advantage of in our manufacturing space.
The partnership is something that we value greatly. It's important to us because we, you know, some of the things that you talked about really are what we believe how we fulfill our mission in terms of that agility and identifying and helping meet the needs that companies like yours have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big part of why we were founded and how we believe we're going to continue to be of service to the region in the future. And so we're very grateful for that partnership. Part of that partnership also included this past year First Solar sponsoring Jill of All Trades. It was the first time we've hosted it, and we were very proud to be the first college in the United States selected to have Jill of All Trades on campus. And so Jill of All Trades provided hands-on experience to young students in grades 9 through 12 to help introduce them to possibilities of careers in the skilled trades, and particularly focusing on young women, knowing that that is an underrepresented population in advanced manufacturing, but definitely open to all students. So I know that First Solar is dedicated to empowering and educating a truly inclusive workforce. And so can you talk a little bit more about that?
You know, for us, we have our global women's network, GLOW, which, you know, I happen to be an ally of, and that's been around for a number of years, but they do an excellent job of not only mentoring, working and networking with, you know, other women in business, but, you know, they work on finding allies such as myself so that mm-hmm. I can help basically go out and ensure that everybody's given, you know, a fair opportunity, right, when it comes to career advancement and being a leader. I think for us, you know, it's always been kind of part of our culture, right? We're a global company, right? We've been in Malaysia now since 2008. Mm-hmm. We've been in Vietnam since 2017, and then in India just this past year. We have opened up facilities now in Alabama, mm-hmm. We're also working on a Louisiana facility. So our reach, right, is pretty big now. So, you know, I think some of our diversity and inclusion efforts will now reach a much wider audience in many other regions where we can continue to find diverse candidates to help continue to bolster, you know, our manufacturing space. If you have students that are absolutely interested in working in manufacturing, again, I'll just reiterate, if you have questions and, you know, students are saying, you know, hey, how can I get into First Solar? How can I, you know, get in the door? Drop me a note. I'll show them how to navigate the career page. But always willing to take, you know, students and others, you know, growing fast, and, you know, we always need help. So, you know, looking for the next plant manager. So, you know, I'm sure she's out there somewhere.
Somewhere. I know as we've had conversations at the state level about workforce needs throughout the state of Ohio and in Northwest Ohio in particular, we really recognize that we have to make sure that people who may not have been part of different workforces are included in workforce and in education, because mm-hmm. The current we can't fulfill all the jobs of the future with the population that is currently working right now.
Yeah.
That it's going to involve either, you know, something has to change in order to be able to deliver on what we need.
Yeah. And you know, we mentioned business before, right, that I grew up in, right? It was a matriarchal house. It was actually mm-hmm. my grandmother's mother's business. And so they ran it. My grandfather actually just sat and kind of ran the front desk. My grandmother was a very sharp businesswoman, and everything, you know, relative to business, you know, financial decisions, everything she had from a very young age had instilled in me that, you know, this is how you run a business. This is how you, you know, manage finances. So that has stuck with me for a very long time. I probably didn't appreciate it at the time, you know, my grandmother, you know, yelling at me because I vacuumed up a penny. But, you know, but, you know, I understand the lesson completely now, and definitely appreciate that.
So in the introduction, we talk about your expertise at creating efficiencies and saving costs. So is that more attributable to Embry-Riddle, University of Toledo, or your grandmother?
Oh, boy. probably a combination of all. I treat the business like it's my own business. And again, I try to instruct the rest of my team, you know, do the same, right? If you treat it that way, it does change the way that your decisions kind of get made. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it impacts the bottom line, and you should, right? That's how you should treat it. So I probably say that primarily comes from my being raised the way that I was. So many instances of, Jason not getting exactly what he wanted for Christmas because of the cost of whatever that was. So, you know, and the business decision, right, was always made in that way. So, you know, oh, well, right, you know, I got to play on the neighbor's kids' toys and everything else, so I guess it worked out in the end. I just found a way around it.
That's right. We always have options, right?
Yeah.
Always have options.
Yep.
So the United States Department of Energy recently awarded First Solar $21 million to scale up projects that focus on innovating solar manufacturing. Can you tell us a little more about those initiatives, and what does that mean for solar in particular in Northwest Ohio in general?
You know, that money was granted to kind of further our innovation process. You notice we opened up the Jim Nolan Innovation Center, and just this past month in July, I think it was, we went through our inauguration. So
mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. That, I believe, is the biggest research and development facility specifically for solar outside of mainland China.
Mm.
So
that's amazing.
That's absolutely. That is something that's big for Northwest Ohio. To have that much investment in research and development and technology really at, you know, the right around the corner from you guys, or mm-hmm. the doorstep, you know, hop, skip, and a jump away. So that's huge. That's where we can just continue to invest, right? You know, our technology is not static. You know, when I started here, our module was a 2x4, you know, sheet of glass. You know, we're now up to beyond shower door size. So, you know, we have a large sheet of glass that we're using. And in fact, you know, that the size of the module, right, you know, that continues to evolve as well as the technology that goes into it. So always pushing the needle. So I think, Northwest Ohio should be really proud of the fact that, you know, they have this at their back door.
Well, and First Solar, along with Owens and other higher education institutions and other glass manufacturers, we're all in partnership for the Innovation Hub, the Glass Institute, that's received some funding from the state of Ohio as well. And so that goes right along with what you're saying about technology and innovation, and how can we continue to evolve on behalf of not only all of the partner organizations, but on behalf of the industry and the region mm-hmm. And the state.
Yeah.
So as we all become a little more dependent on technology, there's been a lot of conversation about tech companies looking for renewables to power AI. And that whole energy conversation and how it relates to workforce development seems as though it's been pretty huge lately. And so can you talk a little bit about what that means for solar and for the industry in general?
Sure. AI demands a lot of energy in order to maintain, that much data. And if you're a provider, you're looking for something that's sustainable, right? Something that's low cost, low maintenance. And, you know, solar is probably fits the bill better than anything else. So, mm-hmm. We're in the sweet spot when it comes to probably some of the AI initiatives and a lot of these data centers that are potentially going to be popping up all over the world. So I think that's it. And really, you know, this is why it's no secret is that as the technology developed, you know, over the years, way back in, you know, when I first started, we were, you know, just breaking, you know, the dollar per watt barrier, right? Which, if you know anything about, you know, energy industry, right, never would you expect solar, right, to be able to break that barrier at any time. And, you know, we kind of shattered it way back when. So I think really from there on, we've kind of led the charge on just being able to provide a quality product. And I think a lot of our independent power providers and energy companies have already recognized the value there. So I think those opportunities would just continue to grow. So exciting industry to be in, for sure.
Well, absolutely. And I think for us, one of the things that we look for as an educational institution is what is it that we can do to help further the renewable energy field and and the industry overall. And so are there words of wisdom or advice that you have for higher education?
Typically when someone talks about the, you know, solar industry, they focus on the install aspect of it, right? Whether it be, you know, roof install or, you know, on the field or, you know, whatever. And, you know, for us here, you know, it's more about, you know, we're manufacturing it. So the solar worker is more than just that, right? You know, it's also on the manufacturing side. So, you know, from that perspective, I think it just goes back to what we talked about before is students of manufacturing, I think, is important. There is a manufacturing science. And having, you know, those that understand manufacturing science from the beginning so that we don't have to spend this inordinate amount of time teaching them what, you know, good, you know, manufacturing workspace looks like and the language of manufacturing, that's something that I think can certainly help kind of cut the learning curve. Because manufacturing is also a place where you find, you know, generally a lot of the, you know, buzzwords of, you know, lean and Six Sigma and, you know, all of these different things. And we also kind of use a lot of those terms in our manufacturing space, understanding, you know, we're big proponents, for example, of theory of constraints and have been for years, maybe teaching somebody what theory of constraint is ahead of time so that they come in and already understand how that works is something that, again, would be certainly beneficial. So, you know, teach manufacturing science. It's where the money is. Yeah. So,
well, and it goes back to one of the things you said earlier about things that are foundational, things that are common across, you know, multiple functions at First Solar. It's like if that can be done, then the things that are more specialized or proprietary is where you can spend your time focusing.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, in addition to your role at First Solar, you in particular have been a wonderful partner to Owens. You proudly serve as a member of the Owens Foundation Board of Directors, and we've been fortunate to have a board member from First Solar since 2012. And so we are truly appreciative of your support and how you serve in that role and capacity for us on that volunteer board. So can you share why it's important for you to be on the Foundation Board of Directors and to be involved and supportive?
For me, it's my first board, so understanding how a board runs and, you know, being a part of it is an education for me and one that I certainly enjoy being part of, going to the meetings and kind of, you know, seeing how the inner workings kind of go on. But, you know, I think it's important for manufacturing teams and others to be part of this because, again, as we mentioned, right, you know, we should be supporting education initiatives. We should be supporting entities like Owens in Northwest Ohio to ensure that not only that, you know, we're staying abreast with what's happening in the education field, but again, it's just good business to, especially with us being so close, you know, that, you know, we maintain a close partnership, right, you know, for the future. Certainly understanding what you're working on, what, you know, we're working on, you know, can be mutually beneficial. You know, I think, as you mentioned, right, you know, STEM initiatives, right, seeing some of the information and data that, you know, you produce also is reflective in our workforce. So that also is beneficial for us to see who's actually interested in coming in, you know, through the some of these education initiatives that, you know, you're actually putting out there, you know, to make us understand of, you know, what is interesting to the next generation, right? So we all have to stay cutting edge.
Wonderful. And absolutely true.
Yeah.
So before we close, you clearly have had a wonderful career in advanced manufacturing.
And I hope it continues. But
I hope, you know, so too. Do you have advice for people who might be curious or interested in pursuing a career in advanced manufacturing?
Sure. You know, I've given the same advice kind of before is it's not necessarily where you start. Right. And sometimes it's not even where you end up. Right. It's really about, you know, the journey that you're on. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but, you know, I volunteered for a lot of things that didn't necessarily come with direct pay or perks for me. I signed up for responsibility when I didn't have to. And, you know, what I've told, you know, many that have come to me and said, how can I progress? How can I, you know, grow? How can I move? And I said, well, how often have you raised your hand when the time comes to take on, you know, whatever challenge, right? And, you know, when you raise your hand, don't necessarily expect that comes with, you know, pay right off the bat. That comes later when you prove it. And I think that's hard for a lot of people to grasp, right? Mm-hmm. Initially from the beginning is, you know, taking on responsibility, being a leader. I've always said, you can be a leader at any level, right? You can be a leader and, you know, be a contract, you know, operator working at what you feel is the bottom spot, right? Mm-hmm. Just as much as you can be a leader at the top, right? And all those roles, in my mind, are important, right? Because, you know, that's how you move the business. That, you know, is my advice, right? Volunteer, take on the responsibility, you know, sign up. It's okay, you know, to raise your hand and volunteer for those things. And I'll just give you one example. When I first started, it just goes back to maybe connect the end story. So when I finally got hired by First Solar, which is, you know, back in 2006, you know, I ended up kind of progressing and I got, you know, a few different roles and I was a team leader. I had the opportunity, we were opening up our Malaysia facility.
Okay.
And at the time, there wasn't many people volunteering to go to Malaysia for, you know, 3-4 months to basically help them ramp up. So, mm-hmm. you know, I raised my hand along with a few others and was given this great opportunity, in my opinion, to travel to Malaysia. Basically, I worked over there. I worked as essentially an operator, you know, ran their forklifts, showed them how to run forklifts, showed them how to, you know, basically manage the plates on the line, you know, and what a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, there was no pay associated with it. It was just mm-hmm. go and, you know, thank you. You know, of course, I came back and I got a supervisor role, you know, shortly after. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons was, you know, well, you volunteered for this and, you know, we have, you know, many people are like, hey, what a great job you did, right? That is certainly part of it. What's interesting is right after I got back from my first round in Malaysia, I got a call from the Toledo Fire Department. And they said, hey, your name has come up. Are you ready? You're going to be in the fall class here. And I said, you know, I'm at the time, I think I was 29, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm 30 years old. And, you know, I have found, you know, the place that I want to work at, right? And you know, so take my name off the list. So essentially, when you think one door is closing too, right, you know, another one mm-hmm. opens, right? Because I obviously was not a pilot, was not a mechanic for maintenance, for aviation, never became a firefighter, never, you know, spent time as a really, I mean, limited time as a emergency medical tech. You know, so all my dreams probably that I had in my head never came true, but ended up being a plant manager in, you know, what I consider the best manufacturer, right, in the world. So, you know, I ended up with my dream job anyway. So, you know, one door closes, hey, another one opens. So,
you know, you spoke to a level of preparedness and readiness mm-hmm. For whenever the opportunity presented itself, not necessarily with the expectation that you would do this and thus this would happen, but yeah. because you engaged and were prepared and you know, you took an interest in your company took an interest in you.
Yeah. Never be afraid to sweep a floor. You never know what'll happen. So
absolutely. As long as you don't vacuum up a penny.
Yeah. Don't vacuum up the penny. That'll be a problem.
That would be a problem. Thank you so much.
Jason, thank you so much for being with us. I am so grateful for all that you do for advanced manufacturing and workforce development in Northwest Ohio. Thank you for your time today, and thank you to all of our listeners. Please remember to subscribe and join us for future conversations. Until next time, take care.